pod moth. I had 4 mimosas this morning.
Only 4?
Yeah, like 4.5. I drank like 70% of the bottle of champagne.
Oh, this is the perfect time to record. I'm here for it.
And it's only noon. Hey.
I had 2 seltzer waters today.
Oh, yeah.
I have nothing exciting to tell you.
Like a LaCroix or?
Yeah. Yeah, LaCroix. One was peach pear, which tastes like the juice in a fruit cocktail cup.
Oh.
And the other is hibiscus.
Oh, hibiscus.
Fancy.
Hibiscus. Hibiscus.
So welcome to Paranerds. I'm Erica.
I'm Jesse.
And we hope you had a happy holiday and all that jazz.
I know I did.
Me too. I am not kidding. I got a bunch of Toy Story stuff and I am 30 years old and I am still totally okay with that. Like, I'm wearing a Pizza Planet nightshirt right now.
I got a bunch of video games and I got an Oculus.
I saw snaps of that. Like, I was telling Danny, when I come see you next, like, I want to play so bad.
Oh my god, it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Are there any horror games on that thing?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, it's great. I was playing Beat Saber for hours yesterday.
Yeah, I want to try that sober because the only time I ever played that, it was a disaster and a half.
Yeah, well. It's a fun game.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm really jealous.
I know. I got that. I got Minecraft for my Switch, and I got Enter the Gungeon for my Switch as well.
Ooh. You're going to be busy for, like, weeks.
I know. Thank God I'm unemployed. I can just sit around and play games all day.
I like that you're being an optimist about it. Like, that's good.
I'm trying. I'm trying. All right. I played Minecraft for probably 10 hours yesterday, straight.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Oh, it was so much fun. I built like a castle and all like farmlands. Oh, Minecraft is the best.
I think that's cool that they do it on Switch because I thought Minecraft was trendy and it's over now.
No.
People still do it.
Minecraft, yeah.
I tried it. It was cool. It's fun. I really miss Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
You know, when I guess I'm just sadistic because I'm the same way when I play The Sims. Like, when I would get mad because people would, like, throw up on the sidewalk in my amusement park, I would drown them in the lake.
Oh my god, what's wrong with you? Jesus. Because they puked on a roller coaster?
No, not even on a roller coaster. They would just throw up on the sidewalk. Or, like, throw garbage. And I'm like, you don't litter in my park.
Die. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. But I'm excited about this episode because it's basically an update. And I love how freaked out you were getting by the alien thing.
I hate aliens. I hate them.
So, I figure I could talk a little bit about some mail I got from Roswell, New Mexico.
The aliens sent you mail.
Yeah, they did. Aliens. They were so good. They even put a little alien stamp in the corner.
Oh, so kind. Thank you, Roswell.
Yeah. So the mail was from the International UFO Museum and Research Center. Mm-hmm. And I figured it'd be good to tell the audience a little bit about them. They are organized to inform the public about what has come to be known as the Roswell Incident. The museum is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to the collections and preservation of materials and information in written, audio, and visual formats that are related to the incident and other unexplained phenomena related to UFO research. Museum endeavors, they endeavor to be the leading information source in history, science, and research about UFO events worldwide.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, I thought, okay, well, that's cool. You're, like, the go-to peeps when it comes to this particular thing. But no, they're like, right. You want to know about UFOs and alien life anywhere? Come
they
to us. Yeah.
Good for them. Are they hiring a graphic designer?
I should have asked them for...
I'm available. Hello.
I should have asked, like, hey, while I'm at it, can we schedule an interview? Because my co-host is, like, real interested. You have no idea.
Please. Please.
And I thought it was cool because I guess a lot of people will write them being like, well, what's your museum like? Because I'm too poor to come to New Mexico.
Yeah.
They have an exhibit area, Hall of Fame, and research library. They operate through donations, admissions, memberships, and gift shop sales. So
I wonder if they were excited about the Storming Area 51 event.
Oh, I am sure.
Roswell got a bunch of people as well, even though it's not the same place.
I guarantee it. I mean, I don't know. I would imagine that whole fiasco probably funded them for a year.
Yeah.
But that's just a out of the ballpark guess, whatever.
Yeah.
But if anyone wants to support them, check out www.roswellufomuseum.com.
Nice.
Yeah. And to dig into this, I don't want to say ridiculous because that sounds bad. I was actually really excited about it, but they sent me like a fuck ton of information. Yeah, like brochures and packets. Yeah, all you have to do, if anyone else is curious and they want their own mail from Roswell, you just shoot out an email and say like, hey, I'm wanting to research the incident. Is there any way that you could send me some stuff? And within like a couple weeks, they'll send you like an ominous packet of information that seems
an information
like it could be
packet.
Yeah, it could be classified. Top secret.
That's so much fun.
Yeah,
I love that they do that.
And what was cool too, I thought that everything inside would be specific to the Roswell incident, but there's more, which is another reason why I'm about to tell you about all this shit. And what was cool, even with all the research that I did for our Roswell episode, there was stuff that I found out from them that fills in a few gaps in our story.
Oh,
like
really?
More like, as in more proof and clarifying some discrepancies based on witness accounts.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hit it.
Yeah.
Give me these witness accounts.
Can do. Well, before we jump into the Roswell incident, just a overview of the things that they sent me. A UFOs 101 packet, which was pretty cool. Information about an incident involving proof of alien lore in Mayan culture.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. A flyer for the museum, and on the back of that was a list of UFOlogy research topics if you want to branch out and do your own research.
Oh my god.
And,
amazing.
And within that, you know, like you ever hear close encounters of the whatever kind?
Uh-huh.
I typed up a list of the differences. Like, I never knew the difference between first, second, third, and whatever.
So, yeah, go for it.
So,
tell me.
A close encounter of the first kind is a UFO spotted within 150 yards.
Okay.
Second kind is physical evidence of a UFO is found.
Like what?
Like wreckage of a ship. Third is UFO is spotted with visible occupants.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of gives the movie a new definition if you didn't know.
Never saw it.
It's fine. I'm a nerd.
It's fine.
Fourth kind involves abduction by aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So like the movie, The Fourth Kind.
The Fourth Kind, yeah.
And the fifth kind involves human-alien communication.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool to understand the differences.
Oh no, I would hate them all.
You're so scared. And I haven't even gotten into more Roswell incident information yet.
Keep me far away from all the aliens.
No. Okay, so to jump into the stuff that we didn't know when we recorded that last episode. Monday, July 7th, 1947. The same day that the debris was investigated on Brazel's farm, Glenn Dennis, an assistant at Ballard Funeral Home in Roswell, received a call from someone at the Air Force Base asking about the number of child-sized caskets that they have in stock. And what when could fuck? He get more?
Who?
Right?
They don't know who called them?
Someone, that's what I found in this packet of information is someone at the Air Force Base. I guess they were like, can't tell you my name, but I can tell you that I'm important and I work at the Air Force Base.
And I need child-sized caskets.
So the guy received more calls asking how to preserve bodies that have been exposed to the weather, strictly for future reference.
What the fuck? That's creepy.
Glenn Dennis took an airman who has been riding on a motorcycle and hit a cattle truck to the base hospital and saw strange stuff in the back of ambulances.
What stuff?
Glenn went into the hospital and saw his nurse friend, who told him to get out of there immediately. He was then escorted out by the military with threats to his life. And this was the day before the press release about the recovery of the UFO was written.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what he saw, I'm not sure, but I'm maybe it's just my imagination going wild, but I figure that it was probably like alien bodies wounded.
No.
You don't think so?
I mean, I feel like if he saw alien bodies, he would report, I saw alien bodies, not strange stuff.
Oh, well. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? I don't know what strange stuff means.
I'm just being an asshole and I'm speculating.
Glenn? Who's this guy?
What does he do? Glenn Dennis. Yeah. And it's Glenn with two N's.
What does he do?
He works at a funeral home. He's an assistant at a funeral home in Roswell.
Gotcha.
And I don't know, reading that thing about the motorcycle hitting a cattle truck, I think it just makes me never want to move there.
Oh, no.
All right. New information firmly fixes the date of the crash as July 4th, which seems funny.
Hey, Independence Day. What a great movie.
I haven't watched that in a while, but it's good. It holds
Welcome
up.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah. But the new information also proved that the main body of the object came down far from the Foster Ranch, but not far from Highway 285. So I guess there was conflicting information about where the crash actually occurred. Is that a puppy?
No, that's my alien.
Well, no, I couldn't tell if your stomach was growling really loud or if that was Jack.
That's my alien.
Or that's probably Rocky.
No, that's Jack? Jack, that's for sure Jack. Jack, can you go away?
He's like, aliens.
He's staring at the window.
Come on. Get out of here. Go. Okay. Well, here's the juicy stuff. You ready?
Oh, give me the juice.
Yeah. New eyewitness testimony.
Oh, Lord.
Corporal E.L. Piles was, in 1947, assigned to one of the outlying compounds near the main base at Roswell. He told us that in early July of 1947, he had seen an object flash across the night sky to his north, going down toward the ground. Another witness that had an even better view of the crash, Jim Ragsdale, a civilian, had been out camping with a friend in the high country about 30 miles north of Roswell in early July. Ragsdale was familiar with the area, being employed to survey natural gas lines throughout the region just to the north. So he already knew this neighborhood pretty well.
Uh-huh.
Sometime late in the evening, Ragsdale saw an object roar overhead, slamming into the ground only a mile or two from where he was camped that night. As it passed overhead, he likened the brightness of the object to an arc welder's torch.
Ooh.
I know, that's a neat visual.
Yeah.
The next morning at sunrise, he and his companion drove to the crash site and saw the object crumpled against a small cliff. Scattered about were several small bodies.
What?
Uh-huh. They were unable to examine the wreckage too closely because the military showed up soon after they got near the site. So then him and his friend just left the scene in a hurry.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, okay, you're saying that the bodies were small, and then coincidentally this poor funeral home employee is getting all these calls about child-sized caskets.
Child caskets, yeah, really though. Ooh, that's creepy.
Mm-hmm. And there's new documentation I found out about, too. An order of Franciscan nuns served as nurses at St. Mary's Hospital in Roswell. They made routine observations of the night sky, and their log records the appearance of a fiery object on July 4th, 1947, sometime between 11:15 and 11:30 p.m.
Nuns don't lie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to believe anybody, believe a nun.
Believe the nuns. Why would they lie about aliens?
They have no reason to even believe in them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so creepy.
Also, a former military and intelligence officer, who was at Roswell then, claims he was involved in the recovery of the object and the bodies, and he kept a diary of the events.
Wow.
Many military officers are trained to make notes in the form of a logbook so they can accurately recreate events later if they need to. Furthermore, his own memory is that the object crashed late in the evening around 11:30 p.m. on July 4th, and that it crashed due north of Roswell in essentially the same location pinpointed by Ragsdale.
Wow.
So you've got corroboration.
Was that anywhere near the farm?
Not.
Or is this like a different crash?
It's the same crash. I believe it's within like 30 miles.
Okay.
So I guess when you're seeing something fall from the sky, you'd probably, it's hard to pinpoint, maybe.
Yeah.
I just want to know why that farmer's story was so off base with all this stuff we're learning about now.
Yeah, that's weird, because, I mean, the military came to the farm. What was the farmer's name?
Mac Brazel.
Brazel, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was like the main story in all the newspapers, and that most people know about is the farmer's story. So it's interesting now that we have corroborating evidence for a crash at a different place.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing was, the farmer was probably the only one that was speaking up to the newspapers at the time.
Right, yeah. So and I think that's why it got so popular, is because it was published.
And then national publications probably picked up on that small town article.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and that's why that story got so friggin' huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if there was just, like, multiple crashes in the same area.
Because
I know, like, the month leading up to the crash, like, the actual event, there was a huge rise in UFO sightings in Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it makes sense if there was multiple alien crafts.
Yeah. And, I mean, sometimes I think that maybe some of those could have been weather balloons or tests done by the military.
Right.
That maybe everyone wasn't an alien, but I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm still willing to believe that some of this stuff was otherworldly. Especially when I'm reading things like this, where it seems like from multiple different sources and people, they all saw the same thing while they were doing different things. At the same time.
And very credible people, the nuns and the military, saw the same thing, and then this camping guy.
Yeah.
It's like very different kinds of evidence that all corroborate the same event.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And about the original press release, among many oddities, the most popular is that the impact site close to Roswell is not mentioned whatsoever. That omission is evidence that the press release was carefully crafted to divert attention away from the site where the main body of the object came to rest, a fact which the military thought had effectively been concealed from the public. Ragsdale has gotten away before being noticed by the military. Further proof of the hidden agenda behind the release is that it stated incorrectly that the object was found on the Foster Ranch.
What? Wait, so you're saying that they invented the ranch, the farmer's story, to cover up the location of the real crash?
That's how I feel about it, that it was more believable to people.
So they posed this fake crash on this ranch so that they could later say it was a weather balloon on this ranch so that no people would go to the real crash location.
Right, because I figure that they're smart enough to figure that something that bright falling from the sky, that there had to have been witnesses.
That people saw it.
So there needs to be some story to kind of satisfy.
Let's divert this UFO craze attention to this rancher.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting theory.
Right? But yeah, that's all I've got as far as Roswell updates, but I thought you would find that fascinating.
I find that extremely fascinating, because what was my... I should have, re-listened to a Roswell episode. That was our second episode. Mm-hmm. And I think in the end, my theory was that it crashed on this guy's ranch. He didn't know what it was. He brought it to the military, which was his story. The rancher took the crash stuff, brought it to the military, who then came out and did a whole sweep of his ranch and took everything. And my theory was that they basically just paid off the rancher to keep him quiet after he went to the news with the original story.
Mm-hmm.
So now with this new evidence, I'm thinking maybe they paid him to lie about something crashing on his property, or they purposefully crashed a weather balloon on his property.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
No, I'm thinking that the situation may have been that for that farmer, times were tough anyway.
Right.
And if the military comes to you and says, hey, say this, I will make sure that you are well taken care of for the next few seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Yep.
Yeah. So either that, or they crashed a weather balloon on his property on purpose so that they could divert all attention to that. Mm-hmm. One or the other. But if they crashed on his property, I guess they wouldn't know how he would react to it, or if he would just leave it, or if he would end up reporting it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Something to think on.
Aliens. So scary. I hate them.
Well, now that I've scared you, it might be time for Shitty Cryptid soon.
Or Shitty Cryptid?
Yeah, I'm just letting you know that's all I have.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's still really interesting information. I feel like I need to research Roswell again. It's so scary.
It's a black hole.
It's so convoluted. Yeah. Because it was one of the first massive UFO conspiracy things, and it's the citizens, the media, and the military all had their hands in it and abusing all of the information. So it's really hard to dissect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not the first one that had happened, but it was the first one that was so widely publicized.
Exactly. Yeah, it was the first massive one that just blew up. And I think the reason is because that farmer went to the news, instantly.
Which is real sketchy now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I know if something like that happened on my land, my first thought, well, maybe it's because I'm a skeptic or whatever, but I wouldn't think, oh, I should call the military and the police about it. No.
What would you do?
If a alien ship landed on, well, I don't know. My head's already on aliens, and this farmer's probably wouldn't have been. But if something like that happened, I would call my toughest friends and be like, get over here. Well, not beat them up, but I'm too personally scared to investigate it alone. So I'd call a couple people and be like, let's go check this out. And then once we see what's going on, talk about maybe calling authorities.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
Nah, I'd call it. I would have to call the cops. I don't know what else I would do.
Really?
I would have to. Who else would you call?
Ghostbusters? No. Oh, call your friends. Like, you
don't have any friends.
Well, yeah, I live real far away, so I guess if it happened in Richmond, you'd be sitting there for 2 hours.
I'm imagining I saw something just crash into my backyard. I would immediately call the cops. So, like, what else could I do?
So you wouldn't, like, make Danny go out there?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, wow, you're a better person than me. When I see a spider in my bathroom, I'm screaming for Andy to come take care of it.
Well, a spider is a known thing. Like, a spider, I'll be like, hey, go kill that, please. Like, I don't want to do... I know what it is. I know you're not going to die. But if I saw, like, a metal object fall out of the sky and crash land into my backyard, I don't know what that is. And I would be like, you, me, we're locking the doors, staying inside, and calling the cops. Neither of us are going outside. I don't know what that is.
I still stand by what I said. I'd probably...
Send your husband out. Hey, Andy, go check it out for me, please.
Well, not just Andy. I'd be like, hey, we need to call a couple more people over, and then all of us can go out there.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess that's a good plan, rather than going by yourself. Because that's what the farmer did. He just went to the thing, picked it up, put it in his truck, and then drove it to the military base.
He's like, oh, I'm used to you know, coyotes coming out and killing my cows. Let me go out here and check out this thing.
He just grabbed it and put it, because he thought it was just like some equipment that crashed, or according to the original paper story, he thought something just crashed in his yard. He threw it in his truck and drove it to the military base because he thought he was just returning equipment like a nice gentleman.
Well, guess that worked out.
And see, that was the original story, and it makes no sense why the military would freak out, do a whole sweep, like shut the media up about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I understand that rumors can fly pretty easily, but to me it seems like there are too many other people from different walks of life in that town on the same page to just ignore it.
And now with this new information, it doesn't make any sense if on the farmer's land it was a UFO. The military kind of freaked out about it and made a huge frenzy. And if it was something they wanted to keep quiet, they wouldn't have done that, right? They would have just paid off the farmer, told him to shut up, and nothing would have come of it. No one would have talked about it, or the only people that would know would be the military and the farmer.
Yep.
But it was a whole media frenzy. So it kind of makes sense now that we're thinking that that was a diversion for a different crash in the area.
I agree.
Wow.
Wild, right?
Wow. It was wild. Never trust the Air Force. Never.
Specifically. The Army, they're fine.
I mean, I feel like the Army's pretty cut and dry. They do Army stuff. The Air Force...
The Army does Army stuff, and the Air Force, all they do is cover up alien conspiracy.
Exactly.
And fly planes, like in Top Gun.
Exactly. That's all they do. And play volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Those are the three things.
All right. Are you ready for your shitty cryptid?
Well, give me 1 second. I did want to talk a little bit about one of our sister podcasts. So the Audentity podcast is your bi-weekly foray into the weird, wonky, and sometimes downright spooky. Join host Janine Mercer as she leads you down the twisted pathways of history and tackles tales of the paranormal, weird historical people and practices, and so much more. The Audentity Podcast, a proud member of the Podmoth Media Network, can be found on Twitter and Instagram at AudentityPod and is available wherever you binge your podcast.
Rad.
Thanks.
I have a sponsor this week.
Cool.
The sponsor for our shitty cryptid of the week is He's Crafty. He's Crafty is a YouTube channel dedicated to making crafting dope again. He's Crafty has some sick crafting videos on making cornhole boards, a DIY Necromicon, a DIY toxic waste zombie, a DIY sheet coast, and even how to corpse up a 12-foot skeleton with plastic drop cloths, 2 heat guns, and some red stain. Check out He's Crafty. That is HE'S Crafty on YouTube and Instagram if you want to check out some sick, fun, dope, and creepy crafts.
Nice.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I went into our DMs on Insta and took a look at his account too, and there it's really cool.
The YouTube videos they make are so funny. They're great. Very well produced.
Oh yeah.
So let me get you your shitty cryptid, bitch.
You know, it's probably for the best that you always have me do this on half episodes, because on the big ones that count, what you give fuck? Good stories. Oh god.
Fuck. The sexy stinky rabbit of the high school dumpster.
So it was prom night.
Yeah.
And there was this lonely, acne-ridden teenager, and
oh, me.
This was a guy.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Let's play it up. Yeah, it's you. She wanted a date so bad.
Oh no.
And she for weeks was hoping that some beautiful jock would notice her.
Okay. This doesn't sound like me anymore. I was too busy listening to My Chemical Romance to worry about dating.
Her eyeliner was so thick you would have thought she drew it on with a crayon.
Yep. Yeah.
And she was hoping she would get noticed by some guy, but no one ended up asking her to the prom. But she decided, you know what? You only live once and I only have one senior prom, so I'm just going to try and go anyway. Date or not, I'm going to be bold. Mm-hmm. So she got there early because she's a loser.
Oh, Jesus.
And she's waiting for the doors to open to this prom, and she's got this, you know, handmade, crafty, like trash bag, duct tape dress on. And wow. To be fair, it looks really cool. Like, I'm pretty jealous of it. And,
yeah.
As she's waiting for the doors to open to the prom, she can't get away from this scent.
Oh. Oh, no.
So since she's bored and she's just waiting for the principal to stop being a dick and let everybody in, she follows the scent over to this dumpster to the side of the school. And she hears a scuffling.
Uh-oh.
And out pops this really attractive rabbit in a tux. And sure, he smells atrocious.
Yeah.
But he's so charming. And he pops his head out of the garbage.
Oh my god.
And says, "You are the most radiant creature I've ever seen. And I've been looking for someone to dance with all my life.
Oh my god.
What are you doing tonight?"
"I'm going to prom."
Yeah, and then she says, "I'm going to prom, and I've been so lonely, and you're really short, and you smell fucking awful, but, you know, I really want a date, so can you go to prom with me?"
But YOLO.
So. Yeah, YOLO. So, So they walk into the prom together, and everyone else doesn't seem to think that this rabbit is as sexy or charming as, you know, this girl does. So they're dancing and holding each other, and by holding each other, I mean she needs to hold this rabbit up because, you know, he's a rabbit, and he's trying to hold her hips, and it's just not working out. But they're dancing and looking into each other's eyes, and everyone else is pretty horrified.
Yeah.
And at the end of prom, he hops away and leaps back into the dumpster for another night.
We're just waiting for the next lonely soul who needs a date.
And this girl, she goes home and she takes another 3 tabs of acid because that is why this rabbit exists.
Oh my god. That was great.
Was it? I think I'm getting better at this.
That. That was fantastic.
And I loved especially that I can make it about you.
Yeah, that was about me, I think.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed that. I'm starting to get more of a skill for improv.
I think you are.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, friends. And we hope you really enjoyed this Roswell update. I was like super stoked to get real snail mail from them.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great, like, additional info.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm kind of mad I didn't have all that on the table before we recorded that first one. Because I feel like we kind of sounded like assholes.
It's a developing story. That happened 70 years ago.
Oh, God. Really? Yeah, I guess 1947 it would have been.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little longer than that. Yeah, make sure that you check all, I'm sure you probably are, but check our social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. You can email us at Paranerdspodcast. God, I'm tired.
That's the one.
At gmail.com. And we will.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.